The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we're looking at some of those temptations of Jesus as we continue to discuss Luke chapter 4. Now remember in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus was baptized in Luke chapter 3. And right after he was baptized, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now yesterday we looked at two of those temptations. The first one was where Jesus was very hungry. He'd gone without eating for 40 days, and the Bible says that the devil came to him and tried to get him to use his miraculous power to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus refused. The Bible says in verse 4 that he quoted the Old Testament and said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So Jesus felt this bodily desire to have food, an extreme desire, an intense longing for food, but he denied it. He denied what the devil presented to him. He refused to give in to what the devil said. So evidently, again, we stress that God did not want him to use this miraculous power to resist this temptation. And the Bible says that Jesus was victorious because he quoted the Bible and he resisted. But the devil came right back with another temptation. The Bible says that Satan took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And then Satan said that he could give him all the power and all the glory of these kingdoms if Jesus would just worship him. Now, of course, what we find going on here is that the devil is lying about this. The devil is not the one who is in control of this universe. God is in control. And the only leeway or power that the devil has is what God allows him to exercise. And so the devil is making a false and an empty promise here. He's lying about this. But does that surprise us, folks? Is there anything new about this? When the devil approaches us and tempts us to sin, he lies every single time. Because what he does is to say that God didn't mean what he said. He tries to convince us that we will not pay a price for our disobedience to God. He tries to do anything in the world to convince us that God's word is not true. As Jesus said, the devil is a liar and the father of it. So you can see here that the devil is going to twist. He's going to do anything that he can to try to get Jesus to sin, and it doesn't work. Again, Jesus responds in verse 8 and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, many people have pointed out here something that is interesting and that is good for us to consider. And that is the fact that every time that the devil came to Jesus, Jesus cited the Bible. Jesus went back to the Scriptures. Jesus quoted the Word of God to the devil every single time. But the devil still would not give up, and he's not going to give up today. He's going to try to do anything and everything that he can to get us to sin. And this next temptation shows how low he will stoop, because he will not only, as he does in this instance, try to get Jesus to misuse his miraculous power, he will not only lie to Jesus here and lie to us today, but he will also stoop to the level of twisting and perverting the Word of God. Now let's look at that in verse 9. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 9, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple." Now this was a very high spot in the temple, and the Bible says that the devil evidently was given this leeway or this power to exercise here on this occasion, and he set Jesus on the top of it. And the Bible says that Satan then said to Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence." Now it was a long way down. It was very dangerous. It would have been dangerous for Jesus to do that. But the devil says, "Now here's my reasoning. Here's why I'm going to challenge you to jump off of this pinnacle." He says in verse 10, "For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So here the Bible shows that the devil is going to try to use the Bible against Jesus. You see, every time that the devil tempted Jesus before this, the Lord came back with the scriptures. And the devil says, "All right, I'll use the scriptures against you." And so he quotes the Bible here, and he does quote what the Old Testament said. But although he did not really substantially add to or subtract from those words, he did twist the meaning of the passage that he quotes. Now, if you have a marginal note in your Bible, it will tell you that the devil quoted from Psalm 91. And I want to turn there this morning to show how the devil twisted this scripture and also to use this as an illustration or an example of how people twist the Bible today. Let's turn back to Psalm 91 and let's look at this passage that the devil is quoting here, and let's look at what it says. In Psalm 91, the Bible says in verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now, in order to really look at what's being said here, you can't just look at those two verses that the devil quoted. Because what the devil is trying to say here is that these two verses show that you can deliberately put yourself in harm's way and expect God to deliver you from that danger. Now, is that what Psalm 91 is about? Let's see. In Psalm 91, David is talking about how that God is his refuge, that God takes care of him. And you go all the way back to verse 3, and the Bible says, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings." In verse 5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday." He says in verse 7, "A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand." And he tells us why in verse 9, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." And he says in verse 10, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." Now, obviously here in that last verse, we can't look at that and say literally today that we can just go up to a lion or a poisonous snake and stomp on those animals with our feet. He's using some figures here, folks. He's using some illustrations. And the figure of speech that you find here is oftentimes called a hyperbole. Now, what that means is that this is a highly figurative exaggeration for the purpose of emphasis, that he's trying to make a point here. It's kind of like us saying today that the sky is falling or somebody went down the road flying. We're not speaking literally. We're using that to make a point. And in the book of Psalms, you have to remember that as you read these Psalms, this book is full of all kinds of figures. And this figure in particular is what you find here. So in the first place, you have to remember what the context of the passage that the devil quoted is all about. The Bible is simply saying here that God is going to take care of his people. But it does not address, it has nothing to do with, it has nothing to say about somebody that deliberately puts himself in a dangerous position just to try to tempt God. In other words, this passage is not telling us to do something dangerous and say to God in the meantime, "Well, Lord, you said you'd take care of me. Now I want to see if you'll do that or not." Well, that's tempting God. That's something that we should never do. And besides that, folks, the rest of the Old Testament taught these Israelite people that they were to observe caution in their life, that they were to be careful. That's why you have in a passage like Deuteronomy chapter 22, for instance, the Bible saying that the Israelites were to build a lattice work around the top of their houses because The houses then had a flat roof. And the roof was a place where these Israelites would go up oftentimes. And so Moses said that they were to build a lattice work, a railing, around the edges of that house on the top. Why? So that nobody would fall off. Well, you see, if what the devil is saying is true, then why would Moses worry about that? Well, the angels would catch you before you fell. No, the devil is just outrightly here twisting the Bible. He's taking it out of context, and he is deliberately trying to make the Bible say something that it does not say. He has no good intention here whatsoever, folks. He's not doing this ignorantly. He's not doing this because he doesn't know any better. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he is twisting or perverting the Bible. Now, this is what Peter was talking about over in 2 Peter chapter 3. There's where he talked about Paul's epistles. And he said that Paul also, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest. That is, they twist them. They pervert them, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So Peter talks about these people back in his day that would take the writings of the Apostle Paul and they would twist them. They would take them out of context and deliberately try to make those scriptures mean something that they were never intended to teach. Now that's what the devil did with Jesus. He twisted the Bible. Now folks, people twist the Bible to uphold just about anything today. People will pervert the Bible and deliberately take it out of context and try to change its meaning to try to support just about anything. There are people that will twist Bible verses to try to uphold homosexuality. There are people that will quote the Bible to try to justify lying. There are people that will quote Bible verses out of context to try to justify drinking alcohol. There are many things that people will try to prove are right by taking the Bible out of context and deliberately misquoting it, just like the devil did. And in Luke chapter 4, after the devil does this with Jesus, Jesus puts it back in its proper context, and he says, yes, God will take care of you. Yes, the Bible does teach that, but you're not to put God to the test about that. And so he quotes the Bible in Luke chapter 4, verse 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So when we look at the Bible, we need to be careful about taking one verse and setting it over against what we find in the rest of the Bible. That's what the devil did, and we're never to be guilty of it. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, then, the Bible shows us these temptations of Jesus. And in verse 13, the Bible says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Well, folks, I've enjoyed studying with you about the temptations of Jesus, and I urge you to go back and read this passage and other passages on this subject. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful rest of the day.